Welcome to Sealing God's People with your host, Dennis Beard, talking about the new season we're in. God has changed seasons. Those that are in tune with the Holy Ghost in the present proceeding Word of God know this truth. It's not Pentecost and it's not church as usual. God is and has been doing a new thing. And He will do the great thing with a new wine, the new thing that God will do in these last days. One of the misconceptions that is held by many denominational churches is that there are no more apostles or prophets, that there's only pastors, teachers, and evangelists. We took a look at the Word of God in relation to this present truth. We see that there are 12 disciples back then. Nobody will refute that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John give us the names of the apostles. And we see in the Synoptic Gospels that it's Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, and the different order of the various ones, but it still holds the 12 disciples. There, we know, they're continuing the Word of God, Luke 6:12 through 16. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called on him, his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, the sent ones. Simon, whom he also called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, and John, Philip, and Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Now, as we get into the Word of God, we're going to see that there's still apostles that are called today. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120 in the upper room. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. It is noteworthy that during that time that Judas Iscariot, who was a treasurer, worked miracles along with the other 11, just as they did. But he betrayed the Lord. As we keep going, Acts 1, verse 21 and 22. Wherefore these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So the original 12 disciples, and in replacing Judas Iscariot, had to be a witness there of Jesus in the days of his flesh, the death, burial, and the resurrection. And they gave forth their lots, and life fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now there's the original 12, Judas Iscariot, losing his bishopric and given to another. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That's Acts 2:42. Then we go to Ephesians 2:20. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 11 and 12, I am become a fool and glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were all among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now we have Paul of Tarsus added to the apostles. We see it again in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Notice it wasn't in the days of his flesh, but in glorification. The Lord appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, a bright light about noonday, that blinded Paul. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Speaking to him in the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua. There, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Paul was definitely an apostle. Acts 9, verse 3 to 5, as that he journeyed, he came near Damascus. And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice speaking, saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord Jehovah God Almighty. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, we know that Paul will be added to that number. Here we go again. Acts 26, verse 13 through 18. At midday, O king, Paul, give an account again. I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining right about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Why did God speak to him in the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua? Because Paul had studied under the feet of Gamaliel in the basic Hebrew language. Not because you have to call Jesus in the Hebrew tongue, Yeshua. That is a fallacy. You can call, that's the reason when Jesus was crucified, Pilate put over that cross, this is Jesus, King of the Jews, in both Latin, Greek, and Hebrew, not just one language, because it is a true transliteration in the English name Jesus. Those that hate the name Jesus will attack that, saying that you have to use the Hebrew name Yeshua, which is a lie. There, he said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, going on, he said, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Well, now we have Paul added there to those 12 disciples, the apostles. He says again in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7 and 8, And last of all, he was seen of me, Paul talking again also, as of one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Paul is definitely an apostle there in addition to the original 12. Ephesians 4, verse 10 through 16. Now, the high priest give gifts unto men. Jesus also, in that he is our great high priest, would give gifts unto men. Here we see Paul giving this in Ephesians 4, verse 10 through 16. And Paul's talking to the church at Ephesus. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, notice that, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Most will agree that there are pastors and teachers and evangelists still in the church now. They disagree, saying there are no more apostles and prophets, that these have been fulfilled. God put it in the church. They're still there and still functioning in the church. And that does not say that they are done away with. Why are they there? To add to the word of God? No. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Now we got to come unto perfection, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. This is all truth, all things in faith, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compact by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Apostles are their friend. Definition of an apostle. Well, it's apostolos. And as we see apostolos, a delegate, specifically ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ, an apostle, which miraculous powers that God still is healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and gave gifts of healings and miracles unto the church. Apostle is a messenger, being he that is sent. There are definitely apostles still in the church today. Luke 10, verse 1, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. There's another 70 apostles that will go out and preach this word, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. They are forerunning Jesus in every place that he is going to be preaching the kingdom of God. Luke 10, 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. There's another 70 apostles. There in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 through 30. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. What has he set? First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. So if you do away with these two, you have taken the first and second anointings in the church, in the offices that God has ordained, and literally threw them out and discarded them. A great misservice to the body of Christ. Thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles and gifts of healings. Notice the gifts of healings and miracles are still there. Helps governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. They're the ones that are called. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? All workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And he goes on and says, I show you a more excellent way in charity. There, Barnabas was an apostle. Acts 14, verse 14, and when? Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul? Notice that Barnabas is an apostle in addition to Paul. Heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Look at Acts 4, verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, here we're talking about Barnabas, who by the apostles was named Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was an apostle. That there's only 12 original apostles is a lie. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6 through 9. Apollos mentioned by Paul as an apostle. Apollos himself, the silver-tongued orator of Alexandria. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of man above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? For I think that God has sent forth us, the apostles, including Apollos, last, as it were, appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Notice there are apostles still in the church and will be the angels or the angels to the seven churches. Now, that's key to understanding the present truth and the preceding word of God. What does it mean? That he has seven stars in his right hand, which are seven angels to the seven churches. The seven angels are the angelos, which are messengers, are the leaders of the apostles in the last days that will break forth in this doctrine of Christ. As we see in Ephesians 3, that God hath this mystery now being revealed, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, Paul stating that truth. So there in Revelation 2, Revelation 3, the angels to the seven churches are in a manahaom, or a double camp, that not the angels preaching to the churches, but the apostles and prophets being the spearhead to the churches in these last days, not denominational teaching. There is the whole focus that he's making it sure and steadfast that it's not through denominational teaching or organization of men seeking those who are approved among you in heresies. It is through the called apostles and prophets to proclaim the spearhead move of God to the churches. And he still has said, first in the churches, apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers. He is doing that now. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 1, and 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 6. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that, and there is chi, which means even. That's not two, but one in the same spirit. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome, as the what? As the apostles of Christ. So we have Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus, Timothy, which are apostles, not just the original 12. Very important to see that the apostle still is an anointing that God has sent into the church as gifts to the church for the perfecting of the saints. Epaphroditus, an apostle, Philippians 2, verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger that ministered to my wants. Notice that apostle is messenger before his face. Definition of messenger, what is that? Apostolos, a delegate, specifically an ambassador, notice a commissioner of Christ, a messenger. There he is, Epaphroditus, an apostle and a messenger before the Lord's face. We see it also in 2 Corinthians 8:23. Titus was an apostle, as we see in his epistle. Whether any of you do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or brethren being inquired of. They are the messengers, are the apostles of the churches, and the glory of Christ. See it again in Romans 16:7. Notice we have two here. Most believe a husband and wife. Salute Andronicus and Junia, notice a female, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. There we have a woman apostle along with Andronicus, some say a husband and wife. Definitely, Junia stood out as an apostle in her works done among the church. There in Revelation 1, verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. Very important that we grasp this in these last days in the preceding word of God. This is the truth that God now, the glory of God hath left the threshold of the house in that temple and now is abiding over the cherubim, the Zoe, the beast before the throne of God, or the living creatures. That is the ones of the fathers that will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers, which is the ministry of Elijah, which must take place before Jesus comes in restoration. We see that in Acts 3:20. For the heavens must receive Jesus until the times of the restitution or restoration of all things. That is all things of truth. Growing up into Jesus and all things that were tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It's perfecting, coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, because Jesus has come back for a church without spot and without blemish, perfect in all her ways and hath made herself ready. Revelation 1, verse 20, the mystery of these seven stars, they're in Jesus' right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels. This is angelos, or messengers, of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks, which I saw, are the seven churches. Look at what the definition of angels there, which is angelos. Back again, a messenger, especially an angel implication, implying a pastor or messenger before the Lord's face. These are not angels preaching to the church and bringing a message. These are apostles and prophets in the last days as spearhead moves before the church. that the church will come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, unto a perfect man, being made perfect. And not just knowing Jesus after the flesh, but, and not after the flesh, but after the Spirit now, much more, that we come into the knowledge of the Son of God. That knowledge is not gnosko, just knowing Him after the Spirit, not after the flesh, but it's epigenosko, much higher knowledge. It's coming to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ in Revelation. That is what these seven angels to the seven churches are. God's doing it now to those that have an ear to hear. When we were in Africa, in Transamerica, Kenya, and Kilgores, after speaking and preaching to a Maasai tribal church, God visited the ministers there, and as I was visited of the Lord in this visitation lasting over 2 hours, the bottom line, the Lord said, seal my people by my word, even as I send my angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, so send I you. Revelation 7. We were deeply taken by this and started the podcast, Sealing God's People, at that time. Now the Lord is moving, and we're seeing more turmoil. We're seeing nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing the possibility of Isaiah 17, Damascus being destroyed and becoming a ruinous heap. We see Russia, Gog and Magog, and Ezekiel 38 could be at hand, and also at the brink of war, World War III. We're living in troublous times, and God is moving in this new season to prepare His body, the church, in this season of tabernacles, not Pentecost, not Pentecostals anymore, but tabernacleists. To you that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, we will come together in one, and it will not be in denominational barriers, which will be or try to stop this move of God, because it will be against the teaching of denominations. It'll be far, far greater in glory. And just as Jesus said, behold, I send you Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Elijah truly must first come and restore all things of faith. He stated that on the Mount of Transfiguration after coming down in Matthew 17. We know that that ministry of Elijah, many know that it's there, but doesn't understand the whole gist of it, the glory of it, the working of it, that it is the work of the ministry through the body of Christ, not just two individuals, not just Moses and Elijah or Moses and Enoch or Elijah and Enoch, whoever they think that the Revelation 11 two witnesses are. It is the body of Christ coming to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's doing it now, and the ones that He has chosen as fathers that have known Him that's from the beginning will turn the heart of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers, lest He comes and smite the earth with a curse. He's preparing His body in this last day, great move of God that has never been before, neither will be after. It is the last day season of God. Now in Hebrews 6, verse 1 and 2, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to what? Unto perfection, not in the sweet by and by, neighbor, but right now, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Most stop there, and of faith toward God. Most stop right there, and do not go any further than that. But we go on of the doctrine of baptism, by taking on the name of Jesus Christ. Many have been baptized into Christ, they put on Christ, and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will do, if God permit, what? To go on unto perfection. That's what apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were given for. And they're still in the church, regardless of what any denomination tells you, they're still there. Why? In Ephesians 5, verse 26 and 27, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church in the full image of Jesus, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. He's coming back for a perfect church, and we all know that. Anything less will not go. Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, Jesus stated, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth or does the will of my Father." We must find the will of God for each individual's life, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God that worketh in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure. We do not literally sacrifice and mortify the deeds of the flesh. We will not make heaven, regardless of what silly denomination pastors or leaders tell us. We must do the will of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, we know that they're born again because no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And they know that Jesus is the Lord, the Father of glory, but they are children. We see that in 1 John 2, 12 through 14. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake." They're born again, and you have known the Father. Those are children. They know he's the Lord, the Jehovah God Almighty. They know that he is the Father of glory. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And John 8, 24, Jesus stated in the days of his flesh, "Except you believe that I, the man, am he, the Father, you shall die in your sin." John 8, 24, they know that. But still, they have not done the will of God. They were saved and coming into as little children, but did not go on to young men or fathers fully grown in the Lord. And because of that, notice that Jesus goes on and says, "Many will say unto me into that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works?" They did. But what did Jesus respond? "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, what you that work iniquity, lawlessness, not being led of the Holy Ghost to do the will of God unto perfection." Now, God's doing it now. Now, you and the body of Christ that know the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit, they contact us. Let's work together. God's doing it now. Don't be bound as Nicodemus with tradition, that the tradition of the elders will make the word of God in none effect. Don't let that stop you from being used of God in this last day work of the ministry unto perfection. We need to hear from you. Now, this is Brother Dennis Beard, praying for you until we see you, meet you, and work together in the work of the ministry, saying, "Behold the real Jesus."